Hello, everybody. Zach coming in at you. Welcome to my new segment, Zach's Bite-Sized Break. Just kind of rolling with it here. I don't have a real plan right now for this particular first episode, so to speak. This is me kind of figuring things out. For those of you who've been around or at least have listened to the TBD episodes, you'll pretty much know how this goes. But this time it'll be me and me all alone. And yeah, we're going to see how that goes. I am recording this particular episode on my phone. My computer is not fully set up in my basement yet. It will be by the end of this week, though. Just still trying to get things reorganized. The actual work in terms of contracting and stuff is done. For any of you who didn't know what happened or maybe don't remember, my house flooded. My basement flooded back in right at Christmas time, literally the day after Christmas. Flooded with a bunch of sewage and other awful things. But yeah, so we're back to normal. We're here. We're kicking. Brad is on a bit of a hiatus. I know he's busy. He did get land a part in that play that he was talking about. If you follow along, I want to say he mentioned it on Discord. Or maybe he mentioned it last episode. I honestly don't remember. But I know he is active in a play right now, so he's just got a lot of stuff going on again. But I want to keep this ship a-moving here. I don't like leaving you without content, and I fully intend to keep this segment running even with the main show. So whenever Brad and I get together to record, don't worry, this segment doesn't stop there. I think for the next month or two, the upload schedule for this will be about 2 weeks, every 2 weeks. And then hopefully I'll be able to bump it up to a week. My target time frame, so to speak, in terms of how long I want each episode to be, roughly 30 minutes, plus or minus 10 to 15, more on that plus side rather than the minus side. And it's really just me talking about my game, design choices I'm making. There's no real structure necessarily, but the big thing I want to talk about is my own game, as well as just fun, cool things I'm doing in the gaming sphere, nerdy stuff. So it's almost like a light version of the main show, but it is more heavily focused on specifically drawing out design concepts and stuff like that, even when I'm talking about the fun things I'm getting into. So I believe that covers all the housekeeping stuff, so hopefully I won't have to cover too much of that anymore come future episodes. But this episode might also be a little longer just because it is my first time and I'm very good at rambling my thoughts. I generally talk to myself as it is to kind of sort through thoughts, especially when I'm at work and I'm working in the code. And yeah, I don't know. It's just my way of processing information. I don't know. It's weird. I know it's weird. It freaks people out, but at the same time, it works. And if it works, it works. I'm not going to question it. All right. So what have I been up to? I have not actually touched game dev necessarily in the past 2 to 3 weeks. And let's just make clear my definition right now of game dev, because most people might perceive that as working in like an engine and practicing coding or whatever it is you're building an engine. Right now I've been working on pure design work. That's all I've really touched this year. And I did do a little bit in Godot. I got the very, very bare bone basics of my battle screen set up for my game that I'm making. And it looks nice. It's built in a way where I can inject whatever backgrounds or sprites I want in individual locations. I don't know if I ever talked about, I think I talked about what my game is going to be. It's going to be a dungeon crawler turn-based RPG with a tactical element to it. Now that tactical element, I'm not sure if that means it's going to be a grid-based deal or what. I'm kind of a fan of like those old school RPGs where you don't really see your party. This is both from an ease of design perspective, but also just I really liked those because, you know, anybody could get hit. The only difference is I'm going to try to structure it in a way where you have a quote-unquote arbitrary formation, and this formation is used to determine likelihood of getting attacked, and certain classes will be able to adjust that and stuff. And the tactical portion comes in the fact that I don't want you to feel like, oh, well, RNG just totally like ruined my day. There's going to be RNG. I'm kind of having some fun toying around with some ideas on how to handle crit and stuff like that. But like, nothing should necessarily surprise you, so to speak. Let's put it that way. Everything should be clear and feel good, like you have a decision to make in how you approach different enemies. And that's really going to be the hard part. So I've been really heavy on the design, using my Remarkable 2 to keep track of all my notes with that. But like I said, the past 2-3 weeks have not gotten to it. And part of that really is my fault, and the rest of it's just the circumstances of life, being busy with this stuff going on in my house, you know, doing all the kids stuff, keeping the kids busy with all of their things. My kids are in swimming. My one kid does jiu-jitsu. They both did a wrestling camp this past weekend. So yeah, it's been a crazy time. A little busy. Quick little side fun note. I went a little too hard this weekend. I haven't worked out either in like a month, and I decided I'm going to go on a hike, and I haven't done my hikes in about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months since my last one. And the worst part about that, I got to tell you, so I left off at a 30-pound weight on my vest. For any of you who remember, if I hit a certain threshold of an average per mile, I upped the weight by 10 pounds. So I started at 0 and worked my way up to 30 over the course of about a year and a half. And at the peak, I was hiking like every 2 to 4 weeks. And I haven't done it now for 6 months, plus not going to the gym for a month. I decided I'm going to go for it with the 30 pounds, which is where I left off. And man, was that was a mistake. And then to just add insult to injury, the night before was the UFC pay-per-view, and I had people over for that. And I stayed up to watch the whole thing, which meant I was up till about 2 a.m. And then I got up at 6 a.m. to get my kids' day started with their swim class, the wrestling, and all that. And my goodness, that was a terrible idea. I was dehydrated, I'm out of shape, and I am struggle bussing it, right? And I had to call my wife because I was not going to make it back in time to take the kids to the wrestling camp given the pace I was going, and because the hill just destroyed me. I had to call my wife. She had to come pick me up. That was embarrassing, but I had to do it, man. I wasn't going to make it back in time to get those kids to the wrestling camp. So that's what I did. That was a thing that happened, and my shins are still sore. It's Tuesday, by the way. I did this on Sunday morning. My shin muscles are still extremely sore from that. And then to just add icing to all of it, Monday morning, I'm on my way to work. I'm walking out to my car. Well, technically my wife's car, because I'd have to take it on certain days. And I go to put my backpack in there, which is not that heavy. And I just turned the wrong way, and I freaking strained my back. And it was like, wow, as if it couldn't get worse. And just to be clear how sore my shins were, I was trying to like stand up, man. And let me tell you something. If I leaned back ever so slightly, even the slightest bit, I could not rebalance myself without literally lifting my legs up, which felt like lead, and slamming my foot to the floor. I legitimately fell down twice. So yeah, that's my embarrassing moment there. Anyway, back to the game. I've been focusing a lot on the rogue archetype lately. That was the last thing I had left off on with my game, in my notebook. And I really, really am having a hard time actually trying not to homogenize all of my classes. I want each one to feel like a different class from the other. And I gotta say, I blame my interest in World of Warcraft for that. You know, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I might have some hot takes on this one, but I do feel that WoW's design is a bit homogenized, and it's also just bloated at the same time. And I think that bloat creates these weird situations, right, where some things just feel the same. And I play Arms Warrior primarily, and for those of you who know, I play primarily PvP. And Arms Warrior is cool. I like the fact that we have a spell reflect, but we're not the only class that has like spell reflect style effects. And that's the thing, like, it doesn't feel unique necessarily. It feels good to play. Don't get me wrong, it feels good to play, but I've noticed that the uniqueness of these classes isn't like what it was in Classic. But the thing is, there's a difference between fun and grind, and that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get at this idea of I have this warrior, I have a rogue, I have like a mage, and they capture something that is unique that they bring to the table and encourages you to try a balanced party, But I also want you to have fun and be able to tinker with that idea and go, what happens if I do a party full of warriors? Or what if I do a party full of rogues? I want you to be able to play however it is you choose to play. I want to do a party with all healers. Like, okay, cool. What does that look like? How does that feel to play? You know, and I want all of these to feel fun. Viability could honestly care less. I'm a big fan of games that have brokenness to them. And one of the classics, but there are many, but one of the classics is Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. That's probably one of my favorite games when it comes to it being this little, basically a sandbox of stuff, and all the toys are already populated for you to have fun and break the game itself. And there's no real limit on what you can do to break it. That was the last game in the Elder Scrolls franchise that allowed you to actually kill off main story characters. And they'd give you a little warning box that basically said, you've destroyed the Weaves of Fate. This character was important to the... basically tells you they're important to the story. I don't remember the exact words. But, you know, it straight up tells you, either load up a saved game or continue with the consequences of your actions. And, i.e., you cannot finish the story now because you've killed a character that is key to it. And I love that. That is so cool, man. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. Something that's still on the table, and it's because it's a dungeon crawler, I'm not sure how much randomization will be in there in terms of maps and whatnot. I kind of love the idea of doing sort of this Diablo style, like every time you enter a dungeon, it's different sort of deal. I like that, but at the same time, I want certain things to be static. So I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this yet. I have a few ideas, and some of them I'm stealing from mobile titles. Some of them I'm stealing from like smaller titles that are on PC. I'd have to experiment with that and play test on it, and also just get some feedback from the community. So I guess that'll lead to my big thing. This will be my big question for any of you who listen to this, and feel free to answer it on the Discord. You can just answer it in, you know what? I'll make a break room since it's Zach's bite-sized break. I'll make a break room, and I'll call it Zach's break room or something like that. And you guys can just answer me there. You know, I'll pose the question here, and you can answer it in that channel on our Discord. So here it is. When it comes to dungeon delving games, this could be an action RPG, a turn-based RPG, a grid-based dungeon crawler, whatever style of RPG, does not matter. But it has dungeons in an overworld, and it may have static things, it may not. Like in Diablo, there was like certain things that were in a general direction at all times. They were always in that direction, right, for example. And then there's other games where it's randomized every time. You have games like Slay the Spire, which I guess technically isn't really an RPG. It's a deck builder, but it has some concepts I'm getting to. You know, you go from node to node to node, and those nodes can be randomized. So what is something you, if you were to think of a turn-based tactical RPG where the tactical part isn't necessarily a grid, it's more of manipulating the combat and targeting and stuff like that, and making sure that you're giving damage to someone you want to take the damage on your team, but also being able to deal the damage and control the enemies. So what kind of map system do you think? Here's where my head is right now. This is nowhere near concrete. Mine is, I like when there's a static sort of overworld, but every time you enter a dungeon, it can be randomized. And the dungeon isn't always random. Sometimes the dungeon has maybe the first floor or the second floor is a static layout. But the point is, whenever you enter and exit, it'll regenerate that. I want you to feel powerful. I like the idea of broken characters because that gives you the ability to make broken enemies that are really strong, and it feels good to play those kinds of games where the balance of power really isn't balanced. It's just, hey, how broken can I make my people to break the enemy? And so anyway, what kind of map systems do you prefer? Do you prefer pure random, like straight up, like as roguelike as you can get, or do you like pure static with a storyline, that kind of deal? Because I'm not even sure if I'm going to do a storyline yet. It'll be very light if it is. So I'm leaning more towards a hybrid between that roguelike. I just don't know where in the middle. Like where between the two is the needle leaning towards roguelike, or is the needle going to lean towards static? I have no idea. So my question to you is, what is your preference in a world setting of an RPG? Do you prefer having a lot of randomness, almost like a roguelike, or do you prefer having static locations with some random like encounters and stuff like that? There's going to be some level of that, no matter what direction I go. But do you prefer more of like that Final Fantasy style, or the, you know, Morrowinds of the world, or do you like a hybrid where it's like Diablo, where you have some locations that are relatively static, but it still like generates a new map every time you load into the game? Or do you prefer the pure roguelike style? So that's my question I'm going to pose to you guys. That's a really fun design question. I think that's cool to have. So let's see here. What have I been into? What's something I've been really, really digging? Ooh, I got it. There's a game called Unicorn Overlord. It came out for, I want to say it's consoles and only consoles. And I'm sorry if you hear this like buzzing noise. There's a dude doing yard work outside and it is obnoxious. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. That's my dryer. Never mind. That's my washer and my dryer. Oh my gosh, that's annoying. Anyway, so I've been playing this game called Unicorn Overlord. If you've ever played any of the Ogre Battle series, which my first entry into that was Ogre Battle 64, super fun games. It kind of is an ode to those games made by the same publisher. I'm not quite sure about the developer, but Atlas is who publishes it. And boy, man, let me tell you, this is a reminiscent of my childhood, but it is brought to a modern day standard. And it is so, so good. You can see some of the combos after only a few hours into the game. You're like, ooh, these combos can get broke. Like, I can break this game. And again, it goes back to that fantasy that I love of, like, yeah, sure, when you first start out, you're real humble. Like, you're not really dishing out a ton of damage. You're not doing any weird combos, but you're just learning the basics of the game. And it eases you into that. There's some grindy elements if you choose to participate. You don't have to, which I like, because the original Ogre Battle 64, the one that I played, you didn't have to grind, but you definitely... Oh, excuse me. I'm having the hiccups, and I'm trying to suppress the hiccups. That's a terrible idea. Don't ever do that. It's a bad idea, because now my chest hurts a little bit. Anyway, Ogre Battle 64, there was some grindy elements to it. You had to level up characters, and sometimes there was also this alignment system, which even to this day, it's funny. You can look on the internet, and people argue back and forth about how it's supposed to work. And it's just kind of funny to see people to this day not necessarily being clear about it, but it is clear. These days, we know exactly how to tinker with the alignment system. But the alignment system would determine what classes your characters could be. And that could also affect how they, you know, the alignment could be affected in various ways. If you kill a unit and you completely kill them off the map, guess what? Your alignment's going to go down. Whereas if you let them live and you don't actually try to kill units, like, that would bring alignment up. Having a unit full of good dudes with one bad dude would slowly but surely every battle bring the alignment of the bad dude up. But occasionally you'd get rolls where the good dudes would come down a little bit. Granted, if you had five dudes in a unit and like one of them was bad, the four were good, those four would not change alignment. It would be the bad one who would change alignment, unless you changed how you played the game. So it's just, there's all these little things that go into this system. It's actually pretty complicated. It's pretty complex. It's actually kind of wild. But Unicorn Overlord kind of simplifies a lot of those. They don't really care about an alignment system. You just have different unit types, and that's where the fun comes in. It's building out these different units, man. Right now, I'm going like what I call purist sort of deal. Like, I have a unit full of flyers. They're really good against cavalry. They're weak to like ranged units typically because they're the only ones that can hit them. There's these cool little mechanics, and this is something I wanted to get to because this is something I've always thought of, but it was just cool that we saw this happen in World of Warcraft Season of Discovery, and we're seeing this happen in other games, and this game does it really well. Rogues are frontline tanks, and it is so cool, dude, when you put your rogue in the front and they're just tanking it up. They are what we call dodge tanks. It brings me back to the days when I first started playing Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMO. I was there for alpha, beta, and release of that game, and let me tell you something, that's one of the It's still an MMO I revisit to this day. That's something I've actually been playing. And my first character I played was a Sith Shadow. Or not Sith Shadow. Sith Inquisitor at the time. And then you became a Sith Assassin. I remember this was back in the day when two classes were tied to a base class. And the base class was Sith Inquisitor. And you would branch into either a Sith Assassin or a Sith... Oh, gosh. What was the name? I don't remember what the name was. Anyway, Sith Assassin was the character I played, and I played a tank. Believe it or not, I played PvE and PvP back in those days. I did raids, I did endgame content, which at the time was not much. I did a lot of PvP, though, and I did it as a tank. And the Sith Assassin is a dodge tank. It's a dodge and self-healing tank. And, dude, I cannot express to you how cool that archetype is to play. And you had stealth and all that cool, fun stuff. So, dude, I mean, as a tank, you were a nice little bag of tricks, you know, something that was like a rogue, but you were more tanky. And that was cool to me. I really enjoyed that a lot. That was a cool play style. Anyway, back to Unicorn Overlord. Rogues can tank. And there are passive abilities, and I'm not going to go too deep into how the game plays, but just know that every character has what we call ability points, and then you have passive points, AP and PP, respectively. And yes, it's hard to be mature about this conversation at this point, because rogues steal PP, okay? That's one of their abilities, is they steal PP, all right? And it's called passive steal or something like that, and that's like their active attack. So they spend active abilities to steal passive points, and their passive is evade. Meaning, if their roll fails to naturally evade, which they have very high natural evasion, I think it's like 48% or something like that. If they fail to naturally evade, their passive activates and they automatically evade the attack. And that's super cool because they, if you think about it, a rogue is most likely going to act first because their speed or initiative in this game is high, which means they're going to act first. They're going to steal passive points. They're going to steal the PP. Okay, and they're going to make the PP their own, and then they now have two PPs instead of one, right? So that's pretty sweet. I really hope you're able to keep as straight of a face as I'm keeping right now while listening to this. But anyway, it's a really cool concept. It's something that's interesting in the game, and what I also love is every class has something it brings to the table like that that is unique. Some of them don't really, quote-unquote, pop off until later, but rogues, they... From the beginning of the game, they are just good. They're just good. You know, they feel good. There's really no, you don't even care about what they can do later. Like, dude, what they can do right off the rip, that's strong. And even a low level rogue can still be a great tank for a group. And that's what I also like. The levels are relevant, but they're not, it's not like a level 20. Well, this might be a bit of an extreme example because they kind of give you a guy for free at the beginning of the game. But like a level 10 versus like a level 5, yes, there's a disparity there, but it isn't so great that the level 5 is totally screwed. If that level 5 counters the level 10's like class, that's actually a pretty decent matchup. You'll be okay. You know, it'll hurt a little bit, but you'll be able to push through it just fine. And that's the other part. There are counters, like the rogue, right? Sounds broken. Oh my God, how do I beat a rogue? Well, that's where the hunter comes in. Hunter, marksman, something. Archer, maybe? Archer, I think it is. The archer comes in. They have a passive called Eagle Eye, and this allows them to hit a target no matter what, and that is super cool. It's awesome, no matter what. So it overrides the rogue's evade ability and their natural evasion, and they can't use evade against that. It's super, super neat stuff. But anyway, now I'm getting into the weeds. Unicorn Overlord, it's like a ogre battle of the modern day. It's super fun, published by the same people. The storylines, I'd say it's a pretty stereotypical storyline, and it really does go along the lines of like Ogre Battle. My only real regret is they don't spend enough time doing the build up like Ogre Battle 64 did, because Ogre Battle 64, and I'm gonna spoil the hell out of it, because let me tell you something, that game's old, okay? It's old, but it has an amazing storyline. You start out as like a recruit, you know, kind of in the Palladian army. I don't remember. I don't know. You started as a recruit in some kind of army. And your army is kind of assumed to be the good guys, right? And then you later learn about this corruption. And you do, you get very quick hints of it. Like, the very early missions, it becomes very clear that the rebels are not necessarily the bad guys here. And it's cool to watch that conversion. You eventually start fighting for them. There's a bunch of different little outlets. It's cool. All right, just go check it out. But in this game, it's sort of a similar deal, but you're not so much a recruit. This time, you're royalty. And that's where the unicorn part comes in. I know I thought the name was goofy myself until you start getting into the story. It all starts to make sense. You are a part of a royal lineage, and the unicorn is kind of like your house sigil of sorts. You get the unicorn ring right off the rip, and it's really cool. Definitely recommend. I'm not really going to spoil much else from there. But it is a game I have been enjoying heavily. Actually, as soon as I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going to get my kids officially to bed. And I think that's what I'm going to play. Because, hell yeah, why not? It'll be that or watch Fallout. I don't know. One of the two. But anyway, I'm actually going to cut it right there. I'm not cutting it yet. No. Because there's another game coming out. It's not even out yet, but I want to talk about it. Because, man, I am pumped. So another series, between Ogre Battle and this series, the Suikoden series, I am a huge fan of both of these games, right, these series. And Suikoden was the first RPG where I really played, other than Ogre Battle 64, it was the first one I got for PlayStation 2 that had these battle mechanics where you could tell your team what to do, but for the most part, they were in charge of managing their own positioning and whatnot. And positioning mattered. It was fun. The first game I ever played was Suikoden 3, which in my opinion is one of the better ones. But Suikoden 2, also a really good game, which I went back and played as an adult. And I love it. Anyway, there's another game coming out, which again, this is like going to be kind of a similar situation. It's going to be an ode to another series, which is Suikoden. And this game is called Ayuden Chronicles 100 Heroes. And it looks amazing. I am so pumped because it is like Suikoden. It's definitely it's basically a remaster of Suikoden, but in its own way. I guarantee you it's going to have a lot more modern mechanics, modern design. It's coming out for PC and consoles. I don't remember which ones, but it's so good. I'm so excited for this game. It looks really solid. I don't know much else other than that. And really, that's all it took to sell me on it. Once they said, oh, it's like Suikoden. It's basically Suikoden. I was like, well, I'm in. That's all I need to know. And that's where the 100 heroes comes from. Because in Suikoden, you have the 108 stars, which are all of the characters that you can recruit in. And that's in every single game. There's 108 characters that you can recruit. They all contribute to your game in some way. Some of them less than others, and some of them are more support roles, or they unlock something for your base, more or less. You can bring them with you to combat, but 9 times out of 10, you're like, no, you just stay in the castle, because that's where you belong. But yeah, I don't know, man. Talking about these games is getting me pumped. It's getting me pumped. Unicorn Overlord, if you're into RTS, RPGs, really cool. There's a few little nuanced things, and I know there's ways around it, but it's not very clear on how to do it. Like, if I want to move a unit, but I want them to move onto, like, the terrain at a point where another one of my friendly units is, I can't do that. There's no way to just select the ground. It keeps wanting to select my allied unit and then move to them, but that's not what I want, because that allied unit is moving, and I'm trying to kind of replace the other guy with them at the same time. But that is like such a nuanced thing. It's not that big of a deal. The game is designed very well. It knows what it's trying to be, and the gameplay reflects that. And I respect that. Another thing is, if you think you're going to grind and out-level it, sure, you can grind and get ahead, at least in these early levels. But even if you, say, max out, so to speak, you can only go so far, because there are repeatable levels that you do unlock later in the game. And they're cool. They're great. They're best for leveling like new characters that you're recruiting, but you can only go so far with that, because once you get a certain level over your opponents, you don't gain any XP from them anymore. So the game really does have like a limit and say, hey, you can't grind too far. Sorry if you hear my dog barking. He's being a jerk to something. I don't know if it's the cat or his neighbor, which would be the other dog in his cage. I know he gets mad if Rubble looks in his direction. Kylo will bark at him, all angry-like, but it's like, don't be a jerk. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been into lately. I will definitely have a lot more deep dive design talk on the next episode, which you can expect in approximately 2 weeks. Life's busy for me for the next month, so I don't really want to commit to a weekly schedule just yet. But hey, if I find the time or I find, you know, the ability, I will be more than happy to dish out one next week for you guys. But don't count on it, but definitely count on 2 weeks from now. I appreciate you listening. I know this was a very quick, very down and dirty episode. Look at that. I made it to 30 minutes, almost exactly 30 minutes. Man, I am proud of myself. I will also have some music in the next episode. I already have some ideas on what I'm going to do. I already looked up some things. I am not going to necessarily recruit anyone to do the music because I know we have Chris who did the music for us. But hey, if Chris brings me something, that would be cool. I do have a vibe in mind. So Chris, if you do, for whatever reason, find it in you to want to help with making music, great. If not, I'm not going to sweat it, brother. So because I already have, like I said, I already have something in mind that I'm going to snatch up if it works out. So we'll see how that goes. But thank you all again for coming. I'm not going to have music this time around. Next time around, we'll have some music. It'll be a little more produced. We might even have some editing because, like I said, I'm doing this one on my phone. Whew, that's brutal. But hey, it is what it is. We just got to do what we got to do, right? I'm going to try my best to get this out tonight, and hopefully it'll be uploaded by morning. If not, don't worry. I have a plan for that. I will do it first thing when I get home from work tomorrow. I will just get this thing fired up out there to you guys so that way it'll at least be ready to go for an evening listen or, you know, a Thursday morning listen, whichever. Hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for coming to my bite-sized break. See you later. Oh, real quick, coming at you guys in post because I forgot. Of course, the one thing I had on my agenda I forgot to mention. We are having another Helldivers 2 game night on May 10th. That's a Friday. Friday, May 10th, 8 p.m. Helldivers 2. Those last two game nights so far have been really successful. We'll be having another one. I'll make an announcement once this episode goes live, officially on the Discord. You can sign up there. I'll make an event for it, and you're more than welcome to join us, any and all of you.